There was a significant development in the search for extraterrestrial intelligence, or SETI, this month, but one that says more about us humans than anything about whatever ETI might be out there. The International Academy of Astronautics has updated its official post-detection protocols, the rules for what happens on Earth if evidence of extraterrestrial life is found. The first protocols date back to 1989, and the new version represents the first major overhaul in 15 years. Professor Michael Garrett is the Sir Bernard Lovell Chair of Astrophysics at Manchester University and Chair of the SETI Committee, and I'm very pleased to say that he joins us now on Sunday Extra. Welcome, Professor Garrett.
Good morning.
So, Michael, why did these principles concerning the conduct of the astronomy-based search for extraterrestrial intelligence need to be updated?
Well, the topic, the field has changed. I think we were then dominated by looking for communication signals from other civilizations, mostly in the radio part of the spectrum, a little bit in the optical part of the spectrum. And now really the whole topic has kind of blossomed. And we're looking for any kind of anomalies in astronomical data across the whole electromagnetic spectrum. So the radio, the infrared, the optical, submillimeter, millimeter, you name it. People are looking for stuff that's just a little bit different, maybe stuff that can't be explained by natural causes and might be the telltale signatures of really advanced civilizations that are using a lot of energy, and that energy shows up as a sort of anomaly in astronomical data. So the field has changed. It's much more international. So SETI is happening all over the world these days, including Australia, which is very active in the field. So the community has changed. And also the environment in which the community operates is really very different. Back in 2010, when the last protocols were drawn up, social media was really just beginning to sort of catch on around the world. I think it was mostly considered to be a really positive thing, getting people to talk with each other.
Oh, yes, that does seem like a very long time ago.
Yeah, I think things have changed. There's a lot of misinformation. Rumors can spread very quickly. There's all sorts of conspiracy theories. Then there's AI deepfake images so that people don't know the difference between, you know, reality and stuff that's just been simulated. We also have the safety of researchers. Now that people are on social media, they can be pressurized, they can be bullied on social media, they can also be physically located via social media. So that the whole thing is quite different from where we were.
So with that in mind, Michael, what's changed in these new protocols? How different are they from either the 1989 or the 2010 version?
First of all, we recognize that, as I mentioned before, these, you know, techno signatures, we're not just looking for radio signatures, but it's anything out there. So that's one thing. The other thing is that we actually talk about researcher safety in the document. We raise that as an issue in this, you know, modern era of social media. We make some recommendations which are quite common within science today, you know, for example, that you want to archive your data, you want to protect your data, you want to make your code available, all that kind of thing that's part and parcel of modern sort of doing science. That wasn't there in 2010, that's there now. We also talk about protection of the spectrum, especially if we made a detection in the radio. Well, the radio is just, you know, just full of radio waves. You know, we're communicating at the moment, mostly via radio, for example. We have satellites, we have satellite constellations. So if we did pick up a signal and it was at a specific frequency, it would be good to go out and try and protect that part of the spectrum from other sort of active users. And the other thing is that, you know, this document is not the be-all and end-all of the topic. We realize that in a few pages, the declaration is only 3 or 4 pages long. There's only so much that you can do. And so we have the feeling that this is sort of the frontispiece of a lot of activity and a lot of research that's happening across not just SETI research and astrophysics, but also in communications, in law, in ethics and social sciences, so that eventually we think, you know, that the document will also point to good practice and documentation in all these different issues that we don't really have the opportunity to go into detail in the very short declaration itself.
Announcing the declaration, the International Academy of Astronautics described the key change as being that any potential detection must undergo rigorous independent verification before a public announcement is made. Could you please talk us through the significance and the rationale for that change?
Verification has always been sort of in the protocols. It's probably emphasized even more in the latest version than it was in previous versions. If we go public, if we go and we attract the attention of the world's media, we want to really make sure that we really have as much as possible a real detection, not something that's going to turn out to be some natural phenomena some way down the line. So verification is really important, and that means that, you know, individual scientists, whoever makes the discovery, have to do, you know, a really good job trying to make sure that, you know, this, they haven't misinterpreted their data, that they've thought of all the other possibilities, not just, you know, an ETI possibility that might explain the data before they go public. Because, you know, this is a big question. It's a question people are really interested in. It's not just some other kind of routine scientific or astronomical discovery. It's more than that. And so we really have to do a careful job. So the verification is not only about individual scientists, you know, being careful with their data, but it's also hoping to try and involve other groups to verify, you know, a potential discovery using a different telescope with different analysis software, with different people, you know, just so that we're absolutely as sure as we possibly can be that this is the real deal.
On Sunday Extra, we're speaking with Professor Michael Garrett, who's the chair of the SETI committee, about the newly updated principles for dealing with discoveries of extraterrestrial intelligence. Michael, bearing in mind that focus on the need for independent verification before a public statement is made, I wonder, did you also consider what risks there might be in publicly declaring an intention to delay a public announcement until that really rigorous independent verification's occurred?
I think it's a difficult balance. You don't want to wait too long, because you don't want to sit on something that, you know, I think people are going to find really interesting and really important. We want to be as transparent as we possibly can be. And, you know, to be honest, what we've seen in the past is that when there is an interesting signal seen in the past, that, you know, when something of interest happened or was discovered, you know, like when we discovered gravitational waves 10 years ago, that was also supposed to really only be announced at the media event, but everybody knew about it, you know, months before that media event actually happened. And it would be good if we tried to, you know, do all this best practice that's sort of noted in the protocols in terms of verification. But, you know, the reality is it's probably going to be difficult to actually keep something of this magnitude away from the general public for too long. So I don't actually worry too much about that. It will definitely come out if someone makes this discovery. People might feel that they could have known about it earlier, but we also don't want to disappoint people. We don't want to be premature and come out with something that, you know, eventually turns out to be something, you know, a bit less interesting than extraterrestrials.
Mm. Michael, you wrote a piece this week in which you described how alien first contact will have rules that differ from science fiction. Why was that the approach you took?
There's a lot of stuff in the media at the moment. You know, there's the film Disclosure Day, which kind of suggests that, you know, first of all, we're being visited by extraterrestrial sort of beings, which I think is like kind of nonsense. If you watch the film, I don't think it's not clear to me how you could conclude anything other than it being nonsense, all these aliens that have big eyes and kind of long spindly fingers. And if you want to believe we're being visited, well, okay, fair enough, but it's not reality. And so I think it's important that people know that people are also approaching this in a scientific way, that we're looking for a real scientific evidence, not just because we want it to be true, or it's fun, or it's dramatic, or it sells movies or books or newspapers or whatever, but there's actually people that are just really fundamentally interested in this question, and they want to answer it in the best possible way, using the best possible science and the best scientific methods. And I think it's important people know that it's not just all about UFOs and
maverick whistleblowers.
So I think, you know, scientists are just humans, and, you know, they'll want the credit. They're going to want the Nobel Prize, because I'm sure whoever makes this discovery is going to get a Nobel Prize. So I think, at least from the scientist side, they'll be absolutely desperate to tell the world if they've made this discovery.
Michael, the updated protocols affirm a key principle from the original one. So I wonder if you could please reply to this question. What is the no reply consensus?
I think this has been sort of very firmly there in all the previous, SETI protocols, that if you do make a discovery, then it would probably be bad practice to go up to your radio telescope and take off the receiver and throw up a transmitter and start having a dialogue, or trying to have a dialogue or a conversation with whatever extraterrestrial civilization you've discovered. That's a decision, you know, sending a reply or responding in any way in the direction of, you know, the signal that you've discovered. I think that's above your sort of typical astronomer or SETI scientist pay grade. That's a topic that needs to be discussed at a political level, at an international level. You know, it's really a question for all of humanity. Should we respond? What are the risks involved in responding or trying to make contact? And, you know, if we do decide, well, it's probably a good idea to do this, what is the message that we want to send? And what kind of message could actually reflect all of humanity? That's a big question. How would you actually do that? You don't want to emphasize one particular culture. You want to show the variety of, you know, cultures that are here, you know, within this planet, you know, and sort of define humanity. What would the message be? So that there's all sorts of questions there, and we think that SETI scientists are definitely not the best people to be involved in working out what that response should be or what its content should be. That's something that requires thought and expertise from, you know, all of humanity, really.
Now, this is a declaration of principles concerning conduct, which doesn't sound very binding, Michael. Mm-hmm. Are you confident the new protocols will be effective and adhered to?
It's a good question. You know, I think probably whoever's going to make this discovery is not actually out there looking to make, you know, this big discovery. You know, are we alone in the universe? It's probably some astronomer who's just looking at data, might be interested in, you know, I don't know, distant galaxies or nearby stars or whatever it might be. And they come up, you know, they see something in the data that, you know, they think, oh, that looks weird. That's a bit strange. And eventually they come to the conclusion, yeah, this is the signature of another, you know, technical, intelligent, conscious civilization. And my hope is not that they're going to sort of rigorously, you know, adhere to every point in this declaration. I don't think we're naive enough to think that, you know, that's going to happen. But it does mean that, you know, if people do make this big discovery, at least there's something out there. You know, if they go to their ChatGPT or their Claude or Gemini and ask, oh, what should I do? I've just discovered that, you know, life in the universe, that, you know, the SETI protocols will probably be one of the things that come up amongst many other things. And so, like, I hope it primes them for, you know, to think about some of the issues involved, including their own personal safety. But also, you know, the fact that this is a big thing, it might have a big impact on humanity, depending on, you know, is it nearby or is it really far away? Is there information content in the signal? But it could be quite a big thing. So you need to think about verification and the importance of verification, and also how you communicate your discovery to the world. So yeah, we don't expect people to adhere to every, you know, particular point, but we hope it's a good starting point for people to think about, you know, like, what do we do next now that we made this big discovery?
And just finally, Michael, how likely do you think it is that these protocols will be needed anytime soon?
Yeah, who knows? I mean, I don't know. I can only tell you that the technology that we have today and the development of that technology is sort of, it's really going exponentially in just about all the different technical areas you can think of. And specifically with AI, for example, you know, in the past, we've always had a bottleneck of, you know, just having so much data, so many frequency channels, so many sort of areas of the sky to look at. I think AI is going to make a huge impact on that. And I think all the other things like sensitivity of your instrumentation, how much of the sky it can see, all these things are improving also exponentially, not quite as fast as AI is, but AI will also have an impact on those sort of basic technologies. So if I look at the way those technologies are developing, you know, and if there is intelligent life out there in our own galaxy, then I suspect, you know, some of the kids that are at school today, that they've got a, you know, better than even chance of seeing these sort of SETI protocols being implemented in a real detection.
Professor Michael Garrett, thank you so much for joining us on Sunday Extra.
Thanks very much.
And Michael Garrett is the Sir Bernard Lovell Chair of Astrophysics at the University of Manchester and the Chair of the SETI Committee at the International Academy of Astronautics.
Think bigger about the world we live in. Ask your smart speaker to play ABC RN.